You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We are a strange show that sometimes has the news and forgets to report it, as we did on Skip Schumacher, and more recently, and this one was my error, and good Lord, was it a flub. I think it would have been a pretty big story if I had announced, like I'd known, that Tyson was going to fight Jake Paul. But I thought everyone here knew it was common information. I come in and I ask, does everyone know this? And they look up on the internet and they're like, nope, it can't be real. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's all done. And then we don't report it.
Mm-hmm.
We did some reporting here. Juju Gotti has finally phoned somebody who can give us an answer to the question. And I might be talking totally out of my ass here because I don't know what I'm talking about. I think and assume that more people are going to be betting on the men, that if the women are going to be grabbed by gambling, or if the newcomers are going to be grabbed by gambling because they're interested in the Iowa phenomenon, it's not going to happen upon arrival, that it's going to be happening here over the next few years, when of course the gambling industry also comes with the same sort of fervor to women's sports than it does to men. But I don't have any information. So we called DraftKings, and what did they tell you, Juju?
They said they couldn't get into too many specifics at all because, you know what I mean, legal battles and whatnot. But they said Iowa versus South Carolina was the most bet women's event in DKSB, DraftKings Sportsbook, history across any sport. Wow. The women's tournament had 3.8 times more handle and 3.5 times more bets than 2023. UConn and versus Purdue, however, was the most bet basketball game of all time on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Wow. Wow. I have to think that's people like UConn. They were breezing through the tournament. Why not bet them in the final,
no,
right?
No, that's not just random gamblers. That is that everything you saw with the ratings. Look, I think this was fairly obvious. This ratings explosion that you just saw, not just in women's basketball, the men were getting monster numbers too, is absolutely fueled by, I don't care who's playing, I don't know anybody, there are just people running up and down the court with my money, I can bet a noon game, I can bet a midnight game, just give me action. It's not because UConn is an obvious betting favorite, it's because the culmination of all the gambling that just went on culminates with, of course, if more people are watching and more people are betting, it's going to be a gambling explosion too around, because this is made for television entertainment, all of it. Man, at this point, sports is a contrivance that just exists for the action. Fantasy leagues come to life, everybody wants more stimuli with their action. So I don't want to just watch one game. No, I want to bet the first half, the second half, parlay over here. I want to have prop bets. I want to have action all over the place so I care in the third quarter whether my guy gets three-pointers. Like, that's what we're doing with gambling and making all of it interactive. And so, of course, if you can go to your television at any time or day or night and become Las Vegas because you have money on what's happening on your television, of course, gambling's going to catch fire all over the country and viewing habits are going to skyrocket and the streaming services are going to want to get involved because everybody wants to be around the action. Why are you making a face, Billy?
Did you say gambling?
Oh, you know what time it is.
Led you right to it.
Great words, but though, Dan, great words.
Dan, it's that time again. It's time for Against the Spread. Against the Spread is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Stugatz, before we get to that, my theory would be that the reason UConn-Purdue is the most gambled-on game of all time is because, for now, what has been normalized is the betting in mass on men's sports. That's what most of us have been doing around here for a long time, and I'm guessing a predominantly male gambling audience, a largely male gambling audience, has also been betting on the men for a long time, and this is the year that it's exploded on the women's side.
I'm just speaking for myself, Dan, and applying my own sensibilities. I don't think I bet UConn once until the championship game because they were steamrolling everyone, and I was like, hey, I don't want to miss out on this.
You're always speaking for yourself and always thinking that it speaks for America, and I don't think you speak for everybody when the numbers are that disparate. 18 million are watching the women.
Yep.
14 million are watching the men, but a lot more money is coming in on the men than the women, even though you've got 4 million fewer people watching. I'm telling you, the part of the purity that Lucy has around the sport, it still exists over with the women where it hasn't been contaminated by all the things yet.
And I'm just saying that I didn't want to bet against Caitlin Clark because I didn't want to be the person that bet against Caitlin Clark and lost. I did want to bet on UConn because I didn't want to be the guy who didn't bet on UConn.
Lucy, I would say that your expertise in this sport would suggest to Stugatz that South Carolina was a bigger favorite, not numerically, but a more obvious choice in that game than even UConn was, given how overwhelming South Carolina was for the last three seasons.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that just because Iowa had beat this South Carolina team before. So like betting wise, it's always tough to bet against Caitlin Clark, but
you know what I'm saying?
Homer,
take the Marlins today. +1.5
against the Yankees. You're buying a run. You want to win.
That's the spread, +1.5.
Yep.
Yeah, so the Yankees have to score two runs or win by two runs to beat the Marlins.
They have to score two runs.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking? Because you look at this and you think, well, Billy, the Marlins right now are 1-11. Ryan Weathers has struggled a bit. Who's he pitching against? Marcus Stroman. He's been incredible so far. What does he have? Like a zero ERA, like a 0.8 whip? I go, yeah, how do you know that? You're looking this up or something? I'm talking to an incredible baseball fan right now who knows all this information right off the top of their head. Why would you take the Marlins +1.5 over the Yankees with these odds? You know why, Dan? Because baseball. That's why. I'm going to take the Marlins +1.5 over the Yankees today against the spread.
It's a terrible analysis. And I'm not even saying
it's
that
his analysis.
That, I won last time,
that
if
he
you
won't,
remember.
I'm not saying that he won't win the bet, but in terms of shitty analysis, there's rarely anything worse than DraftKings could be sponsoring than, why did you bet it that way? Oh, you know, because baseball.
Shanalysis.
It is. That's shit analysis, shanalysis from Billy Gill.
Baseball.
Bet on baseball to be baseball. Why? There's no logic. The Yankees are overwhelming. They've kicked the shit out of the Marlins. The Marlins are losing to everyone. They lost to the Pirates. They lost at home. They got swept. They lost to the Angels.
They've lost two straight to the Yankees, today.
Why do I bet them? Because
they're due.
Baseball.
Yeah.
No, not their dues.
You get it.
That's different stupidity. No, yep. He doesn't get it. No, he does not. That's a different gambling stupidity. Their due is different.
Well, that's part of baseball.
Totally different. Not part of baseball. You bet baseball. Do we have any other bets that are smarter than that one?
Yes, I'm headed to the association. Side note, next week, let's get some new music for Against the Spread. I feel like this music has ran its course.
Really?
No. I'm going to put that on the poll. Put it on the poll, Dan. Dan, put this on the poll. Do you like the Against the Spread music?
Okay.
Neither here nor there. I'm going to take the Dallas Mavericks. They're coming into the 305 tonight.
Really?
-3. I see that look in Luka Doncic's eyes, and I don't see the same look across the Heat organization. You feel me now?
Even worse analysis.
Wait a minute.
Listen. Wait. Hold on.
Look.
Just wait for 1 second. Now, Nikola Jovic has stepped up and shown that he's a rookie that
can
be dependent on. In spite of Terry Rozier dealing with injury, in spite of Bam sometimes turning into Idris lately, in spite of Jimmy Butler putting up subpar efforts, I think that the double overtime win in Atlanta last night brought them together. But I just think that the Dallas Mavericks are hotter right now because they're getting exceptional play from P.J. Washington. They're getting exceptional play from the bigs. They're getting exceptional play from Daniel Gafford. hurt these days, along with the superstar Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. So I'm going to take the Dallas Mavericks against the spread. Against the Heat tonight, minus three.
All right. I don't mind the segment, but again, Billy going, I'm betting because it's baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And Juju saying, I see it in their eyes. They were brought together.
Yeah.
They were brought together.
No, I've got better analysis for you, Dan.
Did you hear? Hey, I said Daniel Gafford's name in there.
Yeah.
I said
ERA.
Don't overlook my analysis just because it doesn't as pretty as you want it to be.
Yeah.
So.
Dan, I know nothing about golf, but SVP told me Corey Connors is a name to watch. So Corey Connors plus 6,000.
What?
Against the spread.
Plucks?
Odds to win a.
Yeah. That analysis was because SVP said so.
Yeah. That's good analysis, right?
I mean, I just don't think DraftKings is going to renew our contract.
Oh, well.
They got a lot of money.
Well, then hopefully they will with this one. I've got the Orlando Magic beating the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm taking the Orlando Magic minus one. A little bit of a pick 'em. Guess why, Dano?
Basketball.
No Giannis.
Oh. Avoided serious injury.
Chris Middleton, however, has been stepping up lately. He's been coming off of his injury as well, but he's taking more of the reins. And look, spoiler alert, Patrick Beverley, he's going to be a major piece on his team come playoff time.
Heat in five.
I'm worried about our future with DraftKings.
I think everyone did great.
Against the spread.
Hey, it's Mike. As you know, sports are a bit crazy right now. It kind of feels like everything is happening all at once, and you have to make some decisions to prioritize if you want to support your team or go out and see some of these games. Well, I've got a recommendation for you. As someone that loves sports and loves attending live sporting events, you're always hunting the secondary market for hard-to-find tickets. I've been out there in those streets, and I know the best possible place for me and you is Game Time. It's an incredible app that is so upfront with its pricing. It's an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Game Time, tons of last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last-minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Dan Le Batard.
Well, Charlie, as far as I know, so just Charlie's title in my
phone. Are you going to say anything?
Stugatz.
How familiar were you at the time with Chewbacca? Like how your upbringing, had how much Chewbacca in it?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I admire this person for a lot of different reasons, but I will say, Stugatz, at the very top of what we're doing here, as your content options get harder, as it becomes harder to discern where you should spend your money, I will more and more trust people to direct me to a place because of their sensibilities where they're so discerning that all they do is make good things. And Neil Brennan is one of those people. Wherever he's making things, he will not put his name on anything that isn't pro stuff.
You're staying with the safe stuff is what you're saying. Like for me, it's Stallone.
It's not safe stuff. No, I'm saying I trust certain people to have such a high standard and to make such good choices that if they're doing blocks as a podcast series or if they're doing a stand-up special, I'm going to seek them out because they're discerning as tastemakers. This is a comedian's comedian. He is a pro's pro. He just did his third special for Netflix, Crazy Good, and he made it look easy. It flew by. It was much different than his previous two specials, which had a lot of depth, a lot of range. He was kind of changing the form or trying to change the form. Here, he just went back to his roots and it was just funny. All funny, easy to listen to. And so thank you, Neil, for being on with us. Take me through what it is that your process is as you're trying to live up to the expectations of people now expect me to make amazing things. People now expect me to be somebody who tops myself with the last thing I did.
Well, I would like to address Stugatz first. Stugatz, I've always considered myself the Stallone of comedy. And by Stallone, I mean Frank Stallone. Shout out to Frank Stallone because his song is one of the greatest songs of the 80s, and I can't remember the name of it, but
Far
it's
an incredible.
You're correct. Frank Stallone has a bona fide hit in the 80s that was a jam that we would all enjoy singing.
Yes. It's an incredible song. It's one of the, whatever that genre is, it's one of the best ones from it. So, but I'm not going to throw away this huge opportunity to talk about myself by talking about Frank Stallone. What was my process? The process with any one of these hours is I just write a bunch of jokes and then I look at them and kind of interrogate what I'm getting at. And with this, I wasn't sad. So I wasn't going to pretend I'm sad. And at the beginning of the show, I do a disclaimer because I had done the show in Washington, D.C., basically as is, and a guy DM'd me afterward, and it's great whenever a guy DMs you, it's very exciting. A guy DM'd me afterward and was like, I kept waiting for you to show up. Basically he was saying like, you weren't sad enough. So I put a caveat at the beginning of the Netflix and I did it on the road as well. And it actually kind of made the show better because it didn't, people weren't waiting for me to sort of pull the carpet and be like, I'm depressed or my dad was mean or whatever. So this was just arranging the thoughts I had and about the subjects I was writing about or concerned about in a way that was just flowed smoothly and getting the transitions right and getting the setups right.
Well, but you're great at all that, right? The sculpting art of stand-up you have perfected. Even other stand-ups would say, yes, he's just very gifted at how it is the delivery of these things has to be. But I want to explain something to the audience. The new podcast he's got, Blocks with Neil Brennan, based on his Netflix comedy special, Blocks. It's available wherever you get your podcast. It's exceptional. But people have come to expect a dark vulnerability from your comedy. I don't know if they've come to expect you to be more vulnerable than any other comics in sort of exploring the depths of your unhappiness and making the funny around it. You had different expectations with this one. I didn't realize that you're so attuned to your audience wanting you to be deep, dark guy that you disappoint them when you're happy.
Well, yeah, whatever you get known for. You know, it's like they want, if I was going to make sketches now, people would go, they better be like the Chappelle ones. You know what I mean? Like, they want you to do the thing that they know you for. So David Spade said it 30 years ago. You spend the first part of your career trying to get known for something and then the second part trying to get away from it. So so with this, it was like I sort of thought people might be upset if I wasn't upset. And then someone just said it early. So I kind of got it out of the way and was able to address it. And but ultimately, I think people just want a comedian to be funny. Like, I just looked on Netflix and I'm number five on the top 10, which is like, I'm really, you know, thrilled by and a little surprised. But I'm also not surprised in that people would prefer just a funny comedian rather than a funny and contemplative or introspective comedian. And I'm not saying like I regret doing what I did. I'm just saying that's people's preferences. They want sugary drinks.
Oh, but this is why I want to talk about your career and business evolution, because you're doing something very specific with Blocks, where if people want to explore, rummage around in the bin of feelings with great comedians, you're interviewing them in a way that is super unusual. But what you're telling me is that you have to craft your business around what consumers are telling you they want in 2024. You'd be great on politics. You'd be great divisive. You are great on those things, but it's probably better to just make them laugh because they need to feel a good time.
It's not even that like craven in terms of like, I need money. How do I get it? It's more just like, I don't know. This is what I was writing about, and I wasn't going to pretend to be sad. I didn't set out to just do a whatever the style is, observational, cutting, funny, special. I mean, I always start out trying to be funny, and then it ends up sometimes being funny plus something else. this was just funny.
Let me explain to the people, incidentally, if you have not seen the special, you were great on sports. This is one of the things that I love when the comedians come over and use their surgical skills on the stupidity that surround us every day. You were talking about mental health. You were talking about our greatest athletes, and you were explaining mm-hmm. that none of them are mentally healthy.
They're all out of their minds. All of them. All of them. That, you know what I call an athlete with good mental health? An assistant coach is what I call them. Because they're not. I'd rather watch reruns of old 90s Chicago Bulls games over new Steph Curry games. He's not crazy enough. He's great, but he's too kind. LeBron said on that podcast with JJ last week, in order to be great, you have to hurt your loved ones. That's LeBron James said it. I literally was like, thank you. I'm glad we all came to the same conclusion. You're not going to, sociopathy and a need for status is the greatest economic driver in world history. It just is. Like, sports, and I don't know if you guys have ever explored this. You know, the origin of sports was to train soldiers between wars. That's how it started in ancient Greece. So we're looking at guys who were like, they're soldiers, but for like, for Steve Ballmer, whatever. They're soldiers now, but they're soldiers and they're doing war exercises, basically. That's why it appeals to a primal thing in us and a primal thing in them. I don't want to watch healthy people. It's with art too. I mean, it's like, I don't want to watch healthy people. I want to watch a bunch of maniacs. A bunch of maniacs. When I heard Ohtani or whatever was gambling, I'm
I think you got it. Yes, you got it.
Yeah, when I heard Ohtani was gambling, I was like, of course he's gambling. What do you think? Maniacs don't come in from Japan?
Allegedly.
The guy's a maniac. You can't hit and pitch without gambling.
Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Can you hit and pitch without gambling? Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, crazy. Crazier, who's crazy?
Yeah, Michael Phelps, Kyrie Irving. Every gymnast who's ever done a flip off of a 4-foot beam. It's not normal behavior. Figure skaters. They all look, the last Olympics, I just called the FBI, like, are you missing some girls? It looks like they're in dire straits. They have to spin around, become a hologram of themselves, stop, act like they didn't just travel through time, and then go to that little booth and sit with their kidnappers. It's crazy behavior.
And land on razor blades on ice with a yes. great deal of pressure on them.
Yes. Hey, you guys should go into the parking lot and just toss each other in the air. See how it is. They're tossing each other. They're ice skating and tossing each other. Like, shut it down.
With razor blades on their feet.
Yes.
I need some help tossing Dan.
And gymnastics. Gymnastics is even crazier.
I said gymnastics sounds like jackass stunts that they let them practice in advance. Like, I'm Johnny Knoxville. This is the balance beam. Barrow, narrow. Like, what are you doing? You're charging. You're hitting a trampoline and then using a table to flip over? What? How is this legal?
It's such a good question. Stugatz, if I told you that somebody in some land, if I didn't tell you anything about gymnastics, and I just told you a dictator had 11-year-olds who were doing all sorts of routines, jumping off of tables for his entertainment, 11-year-olds, and training them vigorously and making them unhappy and then sending them to their abductors, you would tell me that is evil and should be illegal.
And crazy.
Yeah, by the way, Stugatz, the whatever size they are when they start doing gymnastics,
yeah,
they don't get any bigger. They start at the Italian granny height and they stay there.
Don Libertard.
You are very comfortable talking about how you met your wife, how much you love her, how important she is to you, and that's the reason that I asked the question. I've always admired that about you, that you are, you have no problems whatsoever professing your love.
Well, the thing is, I got a new wife now. You know, me and Bianca didn't make it. So I moved on. We moved on. It was for the better. Both of us.
Stugatz.
Things just got a little awkward there. So let me be the first on this show to congratulate you on the new wife, Vince. Congratulations on feeling whole, feeling complete, you know? Let's talk tailgating. Yeah.
Don't feel awkward, buddy. You know,
Dan, no, I don't.
Oh, it's too late for that. It's much too late for that, Vince. I appreciate you soothing me in this regard, but I already feel terribly awkward. And then my teammate comes to my defense with not a question, but just a healthy congratulations and the further pointing out of that awkwardness, because he's always good for me in those spots. I'm also thinking of divorce, Vince, after many, many years, 18 years, with a partner who does things like that to you.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I thought that you did a great bit, not a good bit, a great bit on the sun in the middle of your special, and I just was wondering, given the recent eclipse, whether or not you had any.
Yes.
Any.
It was exciting. It was fun to see the eclipse. It was fun to see the sun get pushed around a little bit. You know, as a white person, I live in you know what's funny about the eclipse? I wanted to try to time some epiphany as it came over, like, I'm gay or something. But it was just the same dumb, like, I need that burrito or whatever.
Why am I not number four on Netflix?
Yes. Did you remember, you guys are old enough to remember when sunblock began? Remember that?
I think Stugatz and I are old enough to remember when it is that you went from one.
There was no sunblock. Then there was suntan oil. And then the next week they were like, hey, that was lube for cancer. Block your whole skin. And I tried to, you know, who does not care about white people's ailments with the sun? My black friends do not care. I try to tell them, I'll be like, you know, we get skin cancer 30 times. Thanks for cutting to the black guy. We get skin cancer 30 times more. We get skin cancer 30 times more than black people. And all my black friends are like, yeah, Neil, I'm having a hard time finding my passion for this. What I've come to realize, fellas, is that if you really think about it, the sun is basically the cops for white people. Following us around everywhere we go, messing with us because of the color of our skin, killing our cousins for no reason. And then when I tell my black friends that the sun killed my cousin, they're like, well, what was he wearing? So you can see why I'm upset by the whole thing.
He has a number of wonderful observations. And you will acknowledge that this special is breezier for you. Like, it was just so easy to watch. You make me think with your other stuff. And that's not to say that this doesn't make me think either. But I was just enjoying that you seemed really relaxed, confident, and comfortable in your skin as somebody who's gotten exceptional at the mechanics of this.
It takes... it's like you kind of develop different stuff at different paces. Like, I could always write jokes, but it's taken a while to figure out how to be on stage, how to be in public, how to be. And it's just getting easier from just reps, probably, but also just my own feelings about myself and my own feelings about my consciousness or whatever. So it's just, yeah. And it's also like, I've been funny for a long time. So it's just a matter of getting it to a place where people can the icons, you probably didn't hear of them till they were 10 or 15 years into their career. People heard of me from not very many years into my career. So they may have been judging me based on it was a real judgment. I just hadn't been doing it that long. So now I've been doing it over 15 years, and you kind of just get like, you kind of wear it better. You kind of just like, yeah, I'm all right. I will figure that I got it, you know, and it's gratifying because it's nice to be good at something.
I will tell the audience without revealing too much, because you've been very honest about this, Neil, that you've been to hell and back with trying to get outside of your head, that you had tapping done for you. You've just been trying to get outside of the prison.
Transcranial magnetic stimulation, yeah.
You were trying
tapping,
to,
I guess you
were trying
call
to alter.
You can't just have someone tap.
No, yeah. You were trying to mechanically, was it in China? You were trying to alter your...
I went to China, yeah. At one point I went to China, yeah.
To get your brain chemistry altered so that you could figure out what was wrong with you, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically right. I just wanted to feel better, yeah.
And you've gotten to feeling better. And I know you talked about this with Pablo Torre. Ayahuasca helped you. You went from atheist to feeling like you killed the ego and find God. And now you come to a comfortable, confident place where you can talk about your greatest vulnerabilities on Blocks with Neil Brennan, where you're forcing other comedians to talk out loud about the stuff I've assumed you've talked about in private, but nobody gets to see this part of your world, Neil, on how it is that creators create or where it really comes from. It's one thing to say it comes from pain. It's another thing to hear your friends and experts really reveal themselves to you because you're trying to get at the craft of how mental illness, mental health, mental strength form a comedy act.
Yeah, and I make fun of the commodification of all this mental health stuff, especially on social media and women making trauma TikToks and with music and subtitles and captions and fun graphics and quick cuts. And it's not really like, it's just not, I don't think it's helpful. I like talking about this stuff generally, because I think it's interesting, but I don't want to get bogged down by, I don't want people to get bogged down by it. And I think, there's a thing called post-traumatic growth that I don't think people talk about enough. Like, you can go through difficult stuff and come out the other side better, you know? And, I like talking about it, and I've had a long process in dealing with my own. And so I am a bit of like the drug addict who gets clean and is like, don't do drugs like me. I like doing the podcast because I like talking to people about this stuff. Otherwise it's just another podcast where everybody's telling stories about the time they shit their pants, you know?
Well, but the thing that I wanted to ruminate with you about is...
No disrespect. No disrespect.
None taken.
It's a comedy. The comedy space is in an unusual... I don't know if you've ever seen this in your life, the place where comedy presently resides. And you have seen...
15 people doing arenas, that kind of thing?
Yes, not only that, but 15 people doing arenas, and many of them birthed by the Joe Rogan empire of this free space between mainstream and where people are scared they can't speak freely. There's this super highway of an economy around the Bert Kreischers of the world. And I mean this as no disparagement to Bert Kreischer, but the Rogan comedians right now are getting the stuff that Cat Williams looks at as a veteran of the grind and says, those guys aren't funny. Or we'll say, you know, Rogan's not as funny as the comedian's comedian. I know you get along with all of these people, but can you take us inside the inner workings of the economy as you view it? And you try to evolve the second part of your career as someone who demands, like, you demand the respect of other comedians. You want other comedians to say Neil Brennan is great at this because you are, and you have that respect. And some of those comedians look down on the guys that are filling out arenas because they haven't done the grind the same way. Exactly. The same way as the best of the as the Attells or the Mark Marins or the others who look down on them because they're like, yeah, that's comedy, but that's not the way we did it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't get too caught up with the sour grapes thing of like people being more popular than me, because I think people, it's like some people are. The idea that comedy is going to watch a person do a monologue is not exactly right. Comedy, stand-up comedy, I mean. Like, comedy, stand-up comedy is going to watch a person, a cool person who seems fun and silly, be fun and silly. And there are people like, who people that, like Chappelle, who's Bugs Bunny, right? And he's Bugs Bunny, but he can write jokes like Malcolm X. Pretty f***ing good combination. Or Chris is the same. It's like Chris talks like a chainsaw, can write jokes like James Baldwin. Really nice combination. And then there's guys like Bert, who is literally the life of the party. He's an incredibly lovable, fun guy. And that's a big part of being a comedian. It's just, people just want to be around you. You know what I mean? Like, they just want to be around you. And if you can't, and I think Bert's an underrated joke writer, because I think he is a good joke writer. So I don't get too caught up with, or now it's like Schultz or Shane Gillis or guys like that. They are very good joke writers, and there is a element of danger to it that I think audiences think is fun. It's like a bit like, you know, like heavy metal. Like, you know, it's like we're dealing with the devil and death, and it's like, no, you're not. We're all just, you know, it's still like a, it still costs $370, you know, whatever. It's just that we're at a show. We're at Universal City Walk. What are we talking about? So there is this element of like, they're out to get me and all this stuff in an arena. It's like, no, they could have found you if they were out to get you. But it is fun for the audience. It's just fun. It's like transgressive. You feel like you're a little bad and it's a little naughty. So I don't get too caught up in it because... it's not, by the way, it's not a choice for me. I'm being as fun as I can possibly be.
No, this is,
it's
Neil,
just not very.
Neil, what I was just going to say to you is one of the many reasons I love how high you've climbed in comedy is because of how much work you've had to do to get over the degree of difficulty of, like, I'm not the life of the party who everybody wants to be around. I've been a depressed asshole for a long time that will disembowel you with my comedy. And
surprise them. This may shock your audience. I've never been offered cocaine. Ever in my life. I'm a comedian and a commercial director. Do you have any idea how narky your energy has to be to never be offered cocaine?
But I think you and the other comedians like yourself, your fans are, we understand you and we know that you don't want to be talked to. We're not loud like Bert Kreischer's fans, because like during the pandemic, you and How Neil Feel with Bianca, that got me through a lot of times because I could listen to a brother reflect on stuff I've never heard about, but with a comedic take on it, and as well as you touched on depression, and I was depressed as hell during the pandemic. So you and Bianca and little Keith, your dog, like, bruh, it really got me through stuff. So we're not as loud as Bert Kreischer and Shane Gillis fans, but we are out here, brother, and we love you.
Thank you, Juju. I'm sorry I referred to you as the black guy earlier.
Feel bad about that, Daniel.
But if I had just guessed that your name was Juju, would have been a little racist. So thank you. No, yeah, I hear you. And I'm not trying to abandon, like, oh, these old depressed people like me. Like, in some ways, I'm trying to be like a way forward. Like, hey, you can get out of whatever you're in. If you don't want to be in it, you can, there's like,
but Neil,
progress
Neil,
can
Neil,
be made.
Neil,
just go to China.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. People will, people will not understand the actual self-help of this. Neil, I don't believe, and I don't think I betray any confidences when I say this, that I don't think I have someone I care about who has been more trapped inside his own head than you for about as long as I've known you, right? It seemed like a real prison to me, because I'm like, God, I just want happiness for this person, and he's just fighting himself, and he's trying to figure out, you have gone to such lengths to correct this about
yourself.
Literally
China, yes.
And so,
and then on ayahuasca, I was thrust into outer space. The universe died. I did DMT. I traveled to before the Big Bang. Not easy. but I have a new 53-minute special.
You went crazy for a while, correct? You there was a period of time over the last few years where you inside of yourself would say, I am going crazy. I would not wish this experience on anyone.
Yes, there was a 2-day period where I literally had the thought, I wouldn't wish this on Hitler, and I don't like Hitler that much. So it was a little touch and go, but I'm better for it. That's the funny part is like, that's the awful part about some of these processes I've been through is like, the more gruesome the experience in the moment, the long-term health benefits are commensurate with. So it's like, whew, you know. So, but it can be conquered. Not easy, but can be done.
Again, I will tell everybody listening, his third Netflix special, Crazy Good, it premiered yesterday. It is now streaming. It is Crazy Good. And if you don't want the heavy subject matter, it feels good. It's breezy, and it's just very easy to watch. Blocks is a deeper dive. It's his other podcast, or it's one of the many places you can find him. Blocks is available wherever you get your podcast. Neil, thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, man. Juju, thanks for the support.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.